We're often wanting to put our feet under the table of the world, and the Lord says, come on over and put your feet under my table for a little while. So we're here today. And I would speak to you today about, if you will, the healing of desire. I would like to maybe speak of this gospel in three basic stages. First of all, there is the hunger of desire. Secondly, there is the healing of desire. And finally, there is here. There is the heart of our desire, namely the Lord. So with all that in mind, we start with the hunger of desire. You know, it's one of those things that all the saints say this in so many words. They say that really the real battle in your life and in my life is a battle about desire. What do you want? What do you really want? Because, you know, when you really want something, you're going to work for it. So the question is, what do you want? Is it a good thing? Is it a truly beneficial thing? Does it really fulfill the longing of your heart? Or is it just a temporary distraction, a kind of a salve on the wound, but not something that can really heal? So again, the real battle in our life is a battle about desire. And that question, what do you really want? What are you working for? Now, I think that when we look to it, we see this gospel begins, and we see the hunger of desire. Jesus had multiplied the loaves and the fishes last week, you may recall, and having done so, the crowd says, that was pretty good, and we got a free meal. So Jesus had gone across the lake, and the disciples with him, and now the crowd, seeing neither the disciples nor Jesus, said, well, he must have gone back to Capernaum. So they run around the edge of the lake some 10 miles, and they get there to find him. They're looking for Jesus. You see, they're hungry. There's a picture of desire here, right? It says again, just as it says, when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into boats, and they came to Capernaum, and they're looking for Jesus. Looking, where is he? Now, they don't know yet. They're looking for earthly bread. They say, this guy can give us bread. But what they're really looking for is Jesus. And we'll see that as Jesus tries to help them to clarify their desires. Now think about your desires for a moment. Our desires are so present to us that sometimes we don't even know they're there. But we're very hungry, aren't we? We're very thirsty. We have a deep longing. And it isn't just for material things, it's for belonging, it's for meaning, it's for friendship, intimacy, to be understood. We have such a longing in our hearts. And if you've thought about it, and you may have heard me say these things before, but it's worth repeating, that in a way, your desire proves the existence of God. Because think about it for a moment. Your desires are infinite, aren't they? You've never really been satisfied. And if you were, it was only for about maybe 10 seconds, 10 minutes if you were lucky. And then you needed something else. And every time we think, well, if I just get this or I just get that, we get it, and it's still not enough. Still not enough. Still haven't found what I'm looking for. Still haven't filled that God-sized hole in my heart. So our desires are infinite. But I don't know if you've noticed, but this world is finite. It's limited. Now, there's an old saying that it's so old, it's in Latin, nemo dat quod non habet. Nothing, no one can give what he doesn't have. So if you ask me for $1 million, I ain't got it. Can't give it to you. So again, this world, it cannot be the source of an infinite longing because the world is finite. We know we have this infinite longing. It's evidently there. It's quite clear to us it's there. And yet, a finite world could not have given us an infinite longing. A limited world could not have given us an unlimited longing. So what did give that to us was someone who is himself infinite. And we call that one God. So your very desires are all pointing back to God. And so these folks running around the lake or getting in boats to go across the lake and see Jesus, They're looking in the right direction, although they still have the wrong thing on their mind. But every one of your desires for things, for meaning, purpose, for being understood, all these things are ultimately pointing your heart back to God. The Psalms say this over and over again. Oh God, you are my God, for you I long. For you my soul is thirsty. My body pines for you like a dry, weary land without water. So I gaze on you in the sanctuary to see your strength and your glory, for your love is better than life. Or another psalm says, you have written your name in my heart, and deep within me, my heart says to me, seek the face of the Lord. Seek always the face of the Lord. God has written his name in our hearts. And we're just designed to look for him. All of our desires point to him. Now, the problem, of course, is that we don't always get that. We keep thinking that maybe a new car will satisfy me, a new relationship, a new husband, a new wife, a new job, a better promotion, a little more money, a bigger house. Then I'll be happy. I'll be satisfied then. Then it'll all come together. Then I'll have it made. And you've barely moved in. And you're like, is this all there is? We're forever running to the Best Buy to buy the latest upgrade. And we end up always wanting to deceive ourselves, don't we? Oh, just one more little trinket, one more little toy, that'll do it, and it's never enough. And so our desire needs healing. So we've looked now at the hunger of desire, and now we need to look at the healing of our desires. Because frankly, our desires are both unruly and they're disordered. They're unruly in that they're over the top. We want much more than we need. And we keep thinking a little more and it's never enough, and we keep piling on more and more and more until we need a yard sale. We need to hire one of those 1-800-GOT-JUNK people, you know? See? I mean, it's a pretty futile thing, isn't it? Constantly. So at one level, our desires are unruly. We need and want a lot more than we really do need and want. And it's very hard for us to learn the lesson that less is more, and that life is best enjoyed in moderation. It's very hard for us to learn that. But our desires are also disordered in the sense that very often they're focused on the wrong thing. They're ordered to the wrong end. So our desires, good though they are, and pointing to God as they are, still, because of our fallen condition, our desires need healing. And that's what the Lord goes about today. He says to them that, in effect, he speaks to them, and they cry out to him. As soon as they get there, we see that they say, Rabbi, when did you get here? He goes, Jesus says, I'm on to you. You're trying to ingratiate yourself to me. You know exactly where I went, and you got on boats to follow me. Oh, Rabbi, we're surprised to see you here. So in the healing of our desires, we've got to at least say that at least they're in the right place. They're in the doctor's office, all right? The doctor is in. Jesus is the doctor. And he's already saying to them, you know, I need to make a quick diagnosis here. And he says, I want you to know something. So the doctor's in. They say, Rabbi, when did you get here? At least they were looking in the right place, even if for the wrong thing, they were looking in the right place, namely Jesus, right? They want bread for their bellies, and Jesus will have to work with them. But they're in the right place, even if they're looking for the wrong thing. Now, so the doctor's in, and then he makes the diagnosis. He says, I want you to know something. You're not looking for me because you saw signs and want to put faith in me, but because you had your bellies filled. And he goes on to say to them, you ought not seek for bread that perishes, but bread which lasts forever, which the Son of Man will give you, the bread of eternal life that I'll give you. So we see that there's this diagnosis. First of all, he says to them, you're looking for me not because you saw signs and want to put faith in me, but because you ate the loaves and had your bellies filled. Now, isn't this then an essential problem that we all face with our desires? Namely, that we focus on our lower desires, our bodily needs, and we neglect our higher desires, spiritual desires. We have a deep, infinite longing for God and His love and His beauty and His truth, but instead we say, well, maybe I'll just have a hamburger instead. Just flip on the television. We do something, and again, it's not like these are evil things. A hamburger has its place. But we focus on the lower desires. And we're so busy majoring in all the minors of life and maximizing the minimum and minimizing the maximum that when it finally comes time to say, Lord, I need to slow down and just sit for a while and talk to you and experience your love in my heart, and oh, I'm so tired, I'm too busy, and so you know how it is, Lord, I'll get to you tomorrow. And it's completely backwards. See, because every one of our desires were pointing to Him, and we ignored the most important thing and focused on all the lesser and the lower things. Now, we heard today in the second reading that St. Paul said, and he gave us a warning. He said, I declare and testify in the Lord that you must no longer live like the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. He goes on to say, you are to put away your former way of life, which is corrupted through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds. Now, what Paul is fundamentally saying is, look, don't go on living in a worldly way with worldly priorities. And he says, the pagans, the Gentiles, are always living this way. And he says, in the futility of their mind. Now, the Greek word here can also be translated purposelessness. It can be translated as ineffectiveness. It can be translated as unreality. They're living in the futility, the unreality, the ineffectiveness of their minds. They keep thinking that one more orgy, one more bacchanalian feast, one more thing will satisfy it, and it never does. You can't go on living that way, in that sort of futility, right? But rather, be renewed in the spirit of your minds. And we'll see how the Lord's going to offer that to us in just a moment. But still, just hear the diagnosis one more time. You are looking for me not because you saw signs and want to put faith in me, but because you ate the loaves and had your bellies filled. So again, our desires are messed up. We're focused on lower things. We'd rather go to Best Buy and get the upgrade than spend time praying. And again, you've heard me before already on this. So let's now go to, we have our diagnosis. We got it bad and that ain't good. But there is a doctor in the house, and his name is Jesus, and he gives us certain directives. He first of all says that we should fix our focus, and then he says that we should firm up our faith, and then we should find our real food. Now, first of all, fix your focus. The Lord says, do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures unto eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Again, you notice he says, do not work. Now, this word here, ergon, means it's more than just like 9 to 5. It's not your job he's talking about. Do not go on spending your energy, your time, your spiritual strength on things that perish. Do not do that. Otherwise, you know, it's like we're on the Titanic. Now, by the way, I've discovered recently, I'm even older than I thought. I was talking to some younger people who didn't know what I meant by the Titanic. Well, it was a big ship that went down. Are we all clear on that? Okay. All right. But you see, this world cannot satisfy, and it's going down. And we're all running around, spending all our time, as the old saying goes, rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic and worrying about whether we're in first class or second class or back in steerage. Well, I got news for you. The whole thing's going down. And don't be so preoccupied whether you're in first class or the cabin is just like this or the deck chairs are like that or the food is like that. The whole thing is going down. Now, it doesn't mean that you don't have to attend to anything in your life. I realize God does too. We all need some work to do. We need some food and so on. But, you know, we're always so passionate about stuff that's slipping through our fingers like sand. And we're not passionate about the things that will really reward and benefit us for eternal life. And so the Lord is saying, fix your focus. Stop working so hard and spending all your energy and all your time on just things that aren't going to last, things that don't matter, and in 2 years you're going to call the 1-800-GOT-JUNK people to haul it away. Or someone will say, oh, you've only got an iPhone 6? Well, ugh. You know, it's not going to seal the deal, right? Okay, so again, the first thing the Lord says is fix your focus. This passing world and its demands unfortunately get most of our attention, but other things like prayer, scripture, sacraments, and building up our relationship with the Lord, and if you're married and have a family, building your relationship with your wife and your spouse and your kids and preaching the gospel to them and making sure they stand a chance to get to heaven. Those are the things that matter. See? And so again, that's what the Lord advises us. First of all, fix your focus. Now, it goes on to say, firm up your faith. He says, he speaks now to himself. I'm the living bread come down from heaven. On me, the Father God has set his seal. So they said to us, well, what can we do to accomplish the works you've told us to do? And he says, and here's an important line. This is the work of God, that you believe in the one he sent. Now, how are we going to fix our focus and be renewed in the spirit of our mind? How are we going to remedy these terribly misplaced desires and have the best desires and suppress the lower ones? How's that all going to happen? It says your faith, but I want you to be very careful to not hear the word faith as simply, okay, I can say the creed by memory, and I've read the catechism a couple of times, so I got faith. Well, that's intellectual faith, and it's by the way, it's a good thing. Make sure you've got that. Don't go and invent your own religion. Don't go and invent your own God. It's called idolatry, and you go to hell for it, all right? So God reveals himself in his scriptures and in the teachings, yes. So know those things. But there's much more to faith than just intellectual knowing. What the Lord is talking about is relationship. What is faith from this perspective? It's more than just, well, I answered an altar call, I put my name on the roll, and I passed the religion test. Faith is to be in a life-changing, transformative relationship with the Lord. It is to be in living, conscious contact with him throughout our day, so that again, our lives are being transformed by this relationship, a life-changing, transformative relationship. So it is this relationship that will go to work and begin to heal our desires. The Lord is teaching us, then again, it's more than about an altar call. Now, with all that in mind, real faith puts us into this relationship with the Lord. You say, well, what good is that going to do? Well, let me just remind you. I've said this to you before, but let me remind you and myself one more time. We've all met people, human beings, who, having met them, our life was never the same. Now, I'm talking hopefully positive examples here. We've all met a few people, and our life is never the same from a negative thing, right? But let's look at the positive. You know, perhaps your parents, but how about a teacher who inspired you and opened up a whole world to you? I had a science teacher in the fifth grade. Oh, and ever since, I've just had this great love for the sciences. I'm not good at them, but I have a great love for them. I tell you, maybe it was a teacher who inspired you. Maybe it was the organist at church who inspired me to learn and play, and I became an organist and a choir director and eventually a priest. Maybe it was somebody you met, and you having met them, your life was changed. You started to think differently. Your interests began to change and walk differently. Maybe it was, again, the person you married. You know, again, we meet people, and having met them, our lives change. Well, if that's the case with human beings, how much more so if we meet God through faith? And that relationship begins to deepen, and we begin to hear his voice in prayer and in scripture. And in crazy moments now, like a crazy priest, maybe you can somehow ignore me and hear Jesus speaking right to you. And if God can speak through Balaam's donkey, he can speak through me. So he's speaking to you right now, and he's saying, look, You spend your life on things that often don't matter. You come to me. Let's start a relationship. Let's grow in that relationship through Scripture, through Holy Communion, through prayer, and through fellowship. And learn of me, and your life will change. Your priorities will become different. You'll fix your focus on things now that begin to matter more in the long run. You won't find your desires off the chart for worldly things. Little by little, you'll start to see and experience a healing of your desires. And so we see, as we've looked at this text, that the Lord says, first of all, just note that you have a hunger of desire. Secondly, though, note that that desire needs healing. And realize that you're running to me looking for the bread that'll fill your bellies, and I can supply that, but I tell you right now, you ought to really be seeking and working for food that does not perish. Well, how am I going to do that, Lord? I got to pay my bills. I got to get through life. And the Lord says, you come to me through faith, and I'm going to go to work and enter your heart and your mind, and I'm going to begin to change your priorities and the way you think. Now, I'm going to just stand before y'all as a witness, but I hope I'm not the only witness in here. And I'm going to say, in my last 35 years of my 57 years, I've walked very closely with the Lord. And that relationship has deepened over time. And how have I walked with him? How has that relationship come alive? Through prayer, personal prayer, liturgical prayer, through Scripture, my own study of Scripture, listening to the Lord, through beautiful music that we sing. All his truths have become part of my mind and my intellect, but also my heart. And I don't think the way I used to think. I don't have the same priorities that I used to have. I'm ashamed and embarrassed to tell you some of the things I used to think and some of the priorities I used to have. No, I am not finished. The Lord is not finished with me. I'm not what I want to be, but I am not what I used to be. But he's brought me a mighty long way, church. And my desires are increasingly more and more focused on the things of God and the things waiting for me in heaven. I look forward to this. This is the high point of my week, to be with you every Sunday. It wasn't always true in my life. When I was a kid, I said, oh, I gotta go to church. You know? I didn't go to have a good time like the choir sang. I said, let's get this done like a flu shot, as quickly and painlessly as possible, huh? Okay, checked off the God box. He won't crush me like a bug. Now I'm off to do my own thing. I tell you, that's no longer true. It's changed. I desire these gatherings. I look forward to them and I prepare for them. And I hope in your own journey you can say how things have changed in your life as you've walked more closely with the Lord. So the Lord says there's a hunger of desire. There's a need for the healing of that desire. And there finally comes the heart of desire. And I've already introduced it to you. But finally, they said, Sir, Lord, you keep telling us about this bread. Just give it to us. just give it to us like you did the other day. And Jesus says, I am the bread. I am the living bread come down from heaven for you to eat and not die. I'm the living bread for you to eat and never be hungry or thirsty again. I'm the one. My name is written in your heart. I knew you before you were ever made. I called you into being. I knit you together in your mother's womb, and I fashioned you, and every one of your days was written in my book before one of them ever came to be. I'm why you exist. I'm for what you exist. I'm the one that you're seeking. Come to me. That's what he's saying. I am the bread that you seek. I am what you hunger for. I'm the Lord. And so the Lord is reminding them that at the heart of our desire is not a thing. It's not a bigger house. It's not a bigger chunk of real estate or more money. At the heart of our desire is not a thing, but a person, the living person of the Lord, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And again, it's going to take time for us. You notice again, he says here, and this may raise a question for you. He says, whoever comes to me will never hunger or thirst again. Now, there is, I think, a question that arises in many of our minds. Well, Lord, I've come to you. I think I'm walking a lot more closely than ever before, but I still do have hungers and desires. So you said I've never hunger or thirst again, but I'm kind of looking forward to lunch. If this preacher ever gets done. The choir says, we got us a party going on down there, all right? But listen, I'm just going to say that it's not, first of all, it's not about even worldly hungers, but even once we've met the Lord, there are still spiritual hungers. But again, I say to you, it's a kind of a Jewish way of speaking. In the ancient Jewish, I don't have time to give you a whole study on the Hebrew language, but they lacked a lot of what we call comparative words in the ancient Hebrew language, and so they would speak in very absolute terms. But what's meant by it is what is, to use a philosophical term, is teleological talk. You look to the end and you make it a present reality. All right? There's all kinds of jazzy terms for these kinds of things, but at the end of the day, the Lord says, look, we would put it in modern English this way, to the degree that you will come to me and by faith engage in a life-changing, transformative relationship with me and stay in living conscious contact with me, to the degree that that's going on in your life and it grows, you're going to find your passions for your unruly passions will be calmed. You'll be focusing your desires on the things that really matter. You'll be maximizing, not the minimum, but you'll be maximizing the maximum. You'll be focused on what matters. You're going to find your priorities, your thinking, your passions, your desires begin to get in line and line up with what you know is right and true and good and beautiful. To the degree that you make this journey with me, and it will deepen in your life and it will get greater and greater. And the Lord will do that for us. So that's what he's saying to us. It's not like instantly you'll never hunger or thirst again. But to the degree that this deepens, it's going to become a reality. Now, I have made this journey with many people who are far ahead of me on the journey. And I have seen that when people, if they've lived a holy life, or tried to at least, that when they get to their deathbed, there comes a moment when they're finally able to say the words of that beautiful Psalm 27. There is only one thing I ask of the Lord, and this alone I seek, to dwell in the mansions of the Lord and behold his beautiful face. Only one thing now, just one thing. It's all I want. Now, most of us, we can say the lines and we can even sing a song, but we're sort of faking it. We want a lot of things, but little by little, our life increasingly gets about one thing. St. Paul said, this one thing I do, I press on to the high prize marked out for me in Christ Jesus my Lord. I was at my father's deathbed, and he said to me finally, and I knew it was time, he wouldn't be long for this world. He said to me, Charlie, all I want now is to go home and be with God. Maybe you've heard your loved ones say that. And you know, it took him his life to get to that moment where he could authentically, really, and truly say, there's only one thing I want now, is to go home and be with God. My grandmother Nana told me that some 20 years before on her deathbed. She says, why am I still here? I just want to be with God. See, not suicidal, but just this, everything else is behind me now. All I want is God. And when we can finally say that, God will say, all right, it's time. And he'll call us home. Maybe some purgation will be needed, but at the end of the day, we'll be on our way. Now, I'm not rushing you to your deathbed, but I'm saying, you see the goal? You see the vision? And the Lord is saying, I know you have a hunger of desire, and you know and I know that your desires need healing. And so then finally, go to the heart of your desire. I'm the heart of your desire. You come to me now, and let me go to work in your life, because you're running after a lot of stuff that frankly does not matter. Everybody wants to be in the first class cabin on the Titanic. Well, it doesn't matter at the end of the day. It's going down. Everybody wants to have all these little things, but at the end of the day, so much of the stuff you're running after doesn't matter. And the stuff that does matter, you're ignoring. You got it bad and that ain't good, but you come to me. I'm your doctor, and I'm going to go to work in your life. And that's what the Lord teaches us today about desire. I'll just finish with a well-known old spiritual. Because there was another gospel where the Lord sat with a woman at a well, and she kept coming to the world and thinking this well of the world will satisfy me. And Jesus says, no, it won't. You have to keep coming back here. And he finally got her to a place where she left her water jar to tell everybody about Jesus. And the song just says, like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things it could not satisfy. And then I heard my Savior speaking, draw from my well that shall never run dry. Oh, fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. Amen.